Life can be tough, but so are you. Please join me in the upcoming podcast as my guest, John Emery, shares his transformational journey after facing job loss and divorce. Get ready to be uplifted and empowered. My mission: to end the silence, the stigma, and the shame about suicide. Please join me.
Suicide Zen Forgiveness, the pod that shares the stories of those affected by suicide. Lost a loved one? Attempted it yourself? Come listen in with your host, Elaine Lindsay. Please note, the Suicide Zen Forgiveness podcast is for education only. Some of this subject matter could be triggering. For those of you that are either grieving or having mental health problems, please call your local suicide hotline or mental health office if you need immediate help. And now, here's your host, Elaine Lindsay.
John Emery's journey is a testament to resilience and self-discovery. After losing a 20-year job and navigating a divorce, he embarked on a transformational path. This journey led him to authenticity and a deep desire to connect with others, creating his podcast, Life's Checkmark. Through this platform, John offers comfort and understanding to those feeling alone on their journeys. This quest for authenticity extended to his role as a father, allowing John to forge deeper connections with his children. Alongside family, he enjoys the companionship of an amazing dog and finding peace in nature through hikes and outdoor adventures. Beyond personal pursuits, John's passion lies in aiding others, particularly in helping them find their own voice through podcasting. He helps build empathy and connection among individuals. In essence, John's life narrative embodies resilience, empathy, and the power of forging genuine connections. I know I got to meet him in person at PodFest earlier this year. His journey from adversity to self-discovery reflects the beauty of understanding and empathizing with others, both in personal relationships and within the wider human experience. Without further ado, my guest, John Emery, thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure to have you on my podcast. We got to meet in person briefly at the PodFest, and here we are on your podcast now.
Yeah, I like it when we get to do that full circle, because in this podcast, we share stories, suicide, loss, ideation, mental health, but everybody has a story and everybody has trauma they've gone through. And more I'm seeing that all of it is connected to how we can offer hope for other people. So that's part of the reason that I wanted you to come today and share your story. A little bit different from normally what we talk about, but the fact is, in your introduction, I talk about the fact that you went through a serious job loss and then a divorce, and that is trauma times two right there. It's a little bit different, John's story that he's going to tell us today, but trauma is trauma, and I believe in offering hope to our audience. And the fact is that whatever the trauma is can be applied sometimes to your life, to something a little different, but it's how we handle it that makes the difference. John, if you want to go ahead and give us a little bit of information about you and your journey.
Sure. I don't know if it's going to be a little, but we'll start somewhere. Let me go backwards in time a little bit. So I was raised with a family, father, mother, and then I have a sibling, my sister. And so around, I was 19 or so, I moved out and I was on my own. And I think probably a year after that, my sister decided to go to the Navy. And so she was leaving home too. And then not long after that, my mom says, hey, I'm out. I'm moving on. And for the simple reason that apparently they were divorced for a very long time since I was a kid. And I was not aware of that. Which, shocking, I never saw it, but apparently a lot of other family members already knew, and it just never came to us kids. Why they did it, I don't know. I guess it was just for us to be still as a family in the same house. So I never felt the difference. The only difference I felt was when she was moving out and I was supposed to help her, right? Move her stuff out. I did it for a little bit and then I couldn't take it anymore. So it was a huge transition. And you'll find out why I'm sharing this later on. But so we were in a 5-bedroom house and then we were all gone in a year or two. And my dad was just by himself in this big house. Now he had a bar, which was down the street with his mom. And that's where he was working for most of my, you know, childhood. So he would be able to walk back and forth. And that, so it was just convenient where everything was anyways. So that was a huge change. And then I started working at the age of 19. I tried college and I was doing it like, I was going during the day and then I was working second shift at a full-time job and the money was there. And I don't need this college degree. It wasn't for me. I didn't feel like I wanted it. Just didn't feel like it was my place. Anyways, I got the job and I just kept growing inside of this company. And I was there for 20 years. And through those 20 years, I was able to get married. I was able to have two lovely children, which I have today as well. And it was just the way I thought life was supposed to be, or the way I felt like it was told to me. You get a job or get a degree, you make money, you find somebody that you love, you sit down, you settle down, you get that house with a white picket fence, you name it, and then you start a family. And that's basically what I took in. So I started a family. And so 20 years went by and I was around the age of 39, I think I was. And my employer decided to close, and it wasn't due to COVID. It was around the COVID time, but it wasn't due to that. It was just like, hey, we're not making money at this plant. We're shutting down this plant. And then we're shutting down, or not shutting down. We're shutting down this plant. And then we're moving to Carolina because they already had a plant down there. So they moved a lot of stuff down there. So it was October of that year that we were told that we were closing, that 60 people walked out the door. And I saw that because production stopped. And there was probably around 80 or so that worked there with the office combined. And I got all the way till May of next year staying there just for the simple reason that I was in the bean receiving area, the warehouse. And so they needed a few people to hang in there and move everything out. So I wish I could tell you how big this place was. I don't know square footage, but it was huge. And then when it was a shell, it was even bigger. All the machines left, all the material left. The last things to go before us was pretty much the forklifts because we couldn't move anything else then. But what a transition that was, and to have to see people walk out the door. And then my whole life, I thought there was job security, right? And it's not. Prior to that, I was like, yeah, I didn't want to be there forever in my life, right? I always wanted to venture out something else. And then this happened, right? So I probably would have never left. I probably would have stayed there. This is the money. I'm raising the kids. This is where I'm supposed to be.
One thing, sorry, I'm going to interrupt you for just a second there, because something that is very different, okay? Even after 20 years, if someone is let go from a job, it is normally a small group of people. It's not a whole bunch of people. But you stuck around to see the dismantling of the company, which is almost a death. You ended up in what amounts to a great big open space. And we don't immediately understand the trauma that's involved in that. Yeah. You know, that's it had to be huge.
It was different, that's for sure. The last thing we could do was sweep the floors if we wanted to, but that was it. And slowly some of the office people were moving to the south, or some just went on and did something else. So there wasn't too many people hanging around eventually. So it got down to, I was probably one of the last three is how I would put it, that I was walking out of there. Yeah, so it was unfortunate, but fortunate in a way. So I opened my eyes. I'm like, time I didn't really believe in God, but I can see it now. This is my path out, right? So what am I doing next? I don't know. I don't want to really do what I'm doing. So I ventured into life insurance because I knew somebody in that arena, and I was playing with it for maybe 8 months. I was starting to do YouTube videos, starting to teach people about it. I had one client that actually jumped on and you know, took what I had to offer. And that stuff takes time, which I was willing to work at it and see what I could do. But at the same time, I wasn't making any kind of income at the moment. So I was just focused on trying to build myself in that area and do something different and feel good about myself, because I found myself in a different vibe. I was just starting to talk to more people every once in a while. And during that transition, my kid's mother, she wound up getting a job at a school. So she started working like part-time, full-time, and she really never did that. It was because we decided that she'd stay home with the kids, take care of them, and that was the plan. That's, in my eyes, that's what should be happening with the kids anyways. So anyways, probably December of that year, and I'm going maybe 8 months out, six, 8 months out after I lost my job. And I had insurance for a while, and I also had severance. So I was able to cover bills and stuff for a period of time. And then it got to the point where insurance ran out and stuff like that. And I'm like, okay, I'll figure something out, but I want to keep trying this. This is what I want to focus on, because I felt like I was starting to get momentum. So what I did was I did 10 Facebook Lives with other entrepreneurs, in knowing who they were and in hopes maybe that they would be interested in what I had to offer as well, maybe, or somebody else they might know. So I enjoyed that. I found something I never would have even discovered before if I was still in that job, because I just get up, go work, come home, hang with the kids, do stuff around the house, and just lay around and do nothing else. Anyways, it got to the point where it was getting to the point where somebody was like mentioning to me, you got to do something, or something else could happen. And that was it. Nothing really was mentioned anything else. To be honest, I was starting to fall apart, because I saw my parents divorced. I saw my whole dad's side already divorced, like the whole family. And I told myself forever that would never happen to me. Ultimately, a divorce came, and I could tell you a little bit about that story, how it came about. But it was inside of me, like I wanted to hold on to the marriage. I wanted to make it work. And because that's was ingrained in me, like I didn't want nothing to happen. So I tried hard and tried talking, and I also suggested therapy and whatnot. And apparently it was just too late. And me not learning after the fact, not knowing that in a sense a woman pretty much already chose her way out maybe 6-8 months prior. And then I'm sitting there, where did this come from? Right? So I had no idea. I didn't see it coming. So it was about February or whatever that there was commotion stuff going on. And I wound up getting a job, I guess in March or April. So the bills were covered. I had insurance and stuff. Things were starting to work out. It wasn't that didn't fix anything. And during that time, I wound up listening to a podcast. It's still called, I think, Dad's Edge, I think it's called still. And I listened to it like years ago, because I was like, oh, I'm a dad. I want to be a better dad. But there's some reason it popped up. I know, podcasting, right? Some reason it popped up in like that January of that year. And I'm like, okay, you know what? I'll listen to it. And whatever it was like, join this men. And they have a group, like men's group, and it's all weeks long and stuff. Anyways, I joined for a couple months with a subscription, and I didn't really join those groups because it was during the day and I started working and I wanted to be with kids and stuff like that. But I did meet some great men, and they were there as far as a phone call away. They weren't in person, or a Zoom or something. Because at the time, I didn't know what the hell was going on. I was losing my mind. I lost 20 pounds from just trying to figure stuff out. I lost a lot of sleep. I couldn't tell you how much. And things were happening where there was a couple of nights where somebody decided to arrive pretty late in the morning, which was not normal. Yeah. There's all that going on in my head, and some other things too, with other behaviors starting to pop up that never happened before. And these men were, I'm like, I don't know, help me out. And they're like, I think you're going down this path, right? I think you're going to the divorce. I'm like, really? So then it started to prepare, right? It was hanging there. And that's how I took it. But there's a lot of men who are like, look, you can work it out. Try this, try that, and see what you feel or what. And obviously, it was just too far. It was too late if there was any opportunity. And if somebody else, it takes two. And if the other person doesn't want to work on it, then you can't make it work. So anyways, I met a great guy and I did his like masculinity course. And I could tell a little bit about that stuff too. But basically, he's maybe flipped up roles a little bit. She became more masculine because she started a job. And I became more feminine in a way because I was home with the kids. Yes and no. I could see it. But then I also see, hey, I want to try something else in a different area. And I don't think somebody else agreed sometimes.
Yeah.
So anyways, what it did was it helped me, right? So I met him for 4 weeks in a row with another guy or two. And we just talked and he explained how you can communicate better and all this stuff. And even if it wasn't going to work for that, it worked for so much more after that. Not with that relationship, but with everybody else I'm talking to now, like yourself. That helped a lot. And then when their mother mentioned the word divorce, I was like, all right, I'm done. And I'm tired of figuring it out. And I was, and I was okay. And what a relief in a way, right? For me to just accept it. And that was the thing. Like, it took me so long to accept it. And then when that happened, I was just like, I slept better. Things were still dragging out for a couple months. I was able to sleep. I was able to do my thing and try to figure out life without somebody else for a while. Yeah. And that's another. So this was all in a year after I lost my job. So we just did full circle within a year. Yeah. Like, so it's crazy. And trying to think. Yeah. I know there was communication issues. I like the one thing I hear sometimes is uncommunicated expectations. Her or I could have thought that, yeah, she should be doing this, but I don't tell her to do this. I just expect her to do this. Where we didn't sit down and have that hard conversation about, this is what I'm saying. Do you understand what I'm saying? Repeat back to me. And the mirror communication or whatever, however they word it. So that makes sense to me. Like, I learned that after the fact. And that's what I want now in life. I want connection. I want deep conversations, not just surface, hey, what's your color? And you like apples and that's it. We're good to go. All right. Not what I want. And another thing I would say, and this is just me looking in on the relationship. I don't know what she could say, but this is just me. Another thing is personal growth. I was reading more books. I was starting to take more podcasts in. When I was driving 40 minutes to work every day, I would listen to podcasts back and forth or audiobooks. And I don't believe she was more into that stuff. It was other things. But so we were on different paths in a way. I wanted to keep escalating it somewhere down the road. And I did mention it takes two, right? And I have a funny story. And I did work with a gentleman and he was an older gentleman and he was always playing music and stuff and Motown and everything. And he would say, it's like Sonny and Cher, it takes two, right? And I always remember that when I'm laughing at the stuff. And that was way before I had relationship problems, right? And he was married for, I don't know, so many years. I couldn't tell you, but I always remember that. And it does take two. So if both, like I said, it was opposite. So if we both can't come together to work things out, then it wasn't going to work out. One of the other things I would say too is like emotional separations. I was not fully there to connect. So it was harder to make things work in the end anyways, because it was just things just drawed out too far. And feel free to ask me questions on anything if you need to go a little bit deeper in some stuff. But that happened. And since then, I was like, how am I going to pay the bills? How am I going to keep the house? How am I going to do it? Because I decided to do a lot, try to take care of a lot of stuff after the fact. What I wound up doing is I have a bunch of stuff in the basement, gym workout stuff. And so I started working out more. I wound up only having the kids on the weekends. So I had more time to myself, which I never had in my life, like crazy. So I'm like, oh, I'll work out for 4 or 5 days a week. And anyways, I got results, but I didn't get the results I wanted. So I did hire a fitness coach. He did help me get the result I wanted in 6 months. And now I'm continuing to still do that. So it's been over a year with working with him. And so I'm doing it only 3 times a week or whatever. So I don't have to be grinding it out, and I'm doing the right exercises, plus watching your what you eat, everything like that. That was a shift for me. Like, I never really did that. I lost 20 pounds when I was going through divorce, but I even lost more working with him to gain it back up with more muscle and stuff. That was a totally different change as well. And I also started going to church about a year from now, actually. For me, it was weird just how it started. So I don't remember as a kid always going. I was never pressured. But for me, it got to, I listened to another podcast, and the guys on that podcast, whatever, was like, you try and start saying thank you every time you wake up. And he's like, it's hard, but you know, try it. So I did. And I kept saying thank you, thank you, thank you. I don't know how long, how many days straight. I still do it to this day. But after a while, I got to say, thank you, God. And I'm like, where is this coming from? I have no idea. So I have a friend that goes to a church around here, and I just started asking questions, and he offered buy this Bible it's for fathers. I'd never heard of it. So he said, it's great. I know they don't publish it anymore. So I had to buy it on eBay. Yeah. It's pretty good. I like it. And it's basically plain English then too.
Yeah.
So I started reading that, and then I started attending church, and I probably missed a few weeks, but I do take the kids. Maybe they're not as involved, but that's changed. I worked on my health. I worked on my faith. I was working on myself emotionally, mentally, connecting with all these people. I also started taking in different podcasts and also I started networking, podcasting and stuff, like not just podcasting, but it's huge. And not only do I get to meet Elaine, and then it just branches out from there. I met you through another podcaster, right?
Yeah.
And I'll say her name, Jacqueline. She's been giving me tons of guests, and I've given her guests as well. And it's just, everything's like full circle. Like you said, when we met each other, and I joined entrepreneur groups, and I went to a mastermind. I went to the Podfest twice. So I started getting out and networking, getting in these environments I'd never been in. The first Podfest I went to, not this year, but last year, I drove to Florida by myself, 16 hours. And I'm like, why not? It's just me. I never been on an adventure like that alone, pretty much. Cause I was with their mother since I was almost like 19. That's when we met, and we were together for 6 years, and then we wound up getting married, and we were married for almost 15 years. So that can give you a reference for how long. But yeah, so I started doing all these new things, and I'm enjoying life, and I don't know where I'm going to go. I have plans. I have goals, I have visions, values, missions. It's all there. And that's all stuff I've learned after all this stuff. So going through something, I know your show is about suicide and stuff and trauma, but going through all this pain and suffering could be beneficial in a way, right? So sometimes you have to fall apart to get back together and stronger. Yeah. And I've could have done so many bad things. And for whatever reason, something didn't allow me to do it. So I didn't start drinking until I was maybe 22, I think. And it was because I was around the bar, seen stuff. I seen my dad a couple times. It's not what I wanted. But then I hung out with friends and stuff. And it was, we all had our moments. Fast forward, when I was starting to go through the divorce phase, trying to figure myself out, I was starting to drink a little bit more, and I could feel it, right? And it'd be a year and maybe 5-6 months from now that I stopped drinking. I told myself I did not want to see what happened to my father, because he basically wound up drinking himself to death, and I didn't want to go down that road. So I chose not to do that. I got rid of everything I had drinking wise, anything that says beer or whatever on it. There's one thing I kept because it was my dad's, and it's the Spud McKenzie dog that lights up or whatever. But it's and I could share a story on that another time. But so I stopped drinking, and that helped me with my fitness as well. And it helped me to be, I want to be more present, be myself. I want to be authentic. So when I meet other people, like, this is what you get. Yeah. You're not going to get the guy that drinks a few and then
comfortably numb.
Yeah, comfortably numb. That's a good way to put it. I agree. Yeah. So you're right. It is. It is. And everybody can do what they want. And since not drinking, I've learned that, yes, it is basically poison. It It is a coping mechanism. It is just something that people can just go, you know what, after work, I'm going to go have a couple drinks. For what? To get hungover, wake up the next day and have, feel like crap, and then you're still going through the same motion eventually. So that's how I look at it. Yeah. Everybody else is different, but that's how I looked at it. Yeah. So
what I was going to say, I just wanted to address what you said there. It's a coping mechanism. In fact, it's not. It's an avoidance mechanism. Because I use the term comfortably numb, because that's exactly what it does. You don't have to go into your feelings. You don't have to deal with whatever is awaiting you outside of that bottle or that glass or that bar. The whole reason people often drink or do drugs is to avoid what it is they don't want to have to look at. And a couple of things, okay. You have a lot of internal fortitude to be able to take yourself out of that. And I think, and it's obvious to me because I've been there and seen you with your kids, but because of the love for your children, you chose to make yourself a better person also for them. But something I want to say, because when you first talked about your mom and dad actually being divorced all that time, that's an incredible labor of love for their children, because you did not grow up in a broken home. You did, but you didn't know it. So you never had any of that trauma or any of that, those feelings that kids go through early on in divorce. And what I think is wonderful is because of the choices that you made, because of how you were brought up, you're able to then approach your own divorce in a very different way from many people. So what you're giving to your kids is all the good stuff. And that's a super commendable, but you're not passing on the trauma and the grief. And I'm going to say this to the audience, please don't be annoyed with me. But before we went on air, you said to me, I don't want to be negative. I'm not bashing anybody. I don't do that. That alone puts you stories above so many other people. Because in our hurt, when we suffer a breakup of any relationship, there's always that little child bit of us that wants to reach out and wound the way we've been wounded. That's how humans work. And you're stepping up and not doing that. And that, to me, is even more commendable. But what you're searching for, like as you're healing and you're doing your fitness and you're working on the physical, the mental, the spiritual, and you're now going to church, you're looking for tribe. Because humans, we tend to, when we're hurt, when there's trauma, we tend to go inwards and pull ourselves away. But in fact, humans are tribe animals. We were never meant to be alone. We were meant to be in groups. And I think it's incredibly, on a subconscious level, you did that, not knowing, not giving it a name, or not understanding what you were reaching for in the networking and the reaching out to the men's groups and what have you, is that feeling of tribe, because it's important. And some of us take a very long time to learn that no man or woman or child is an island. We are meant to surround ourselves with the people that can uplift us when we need it, that can bring us back to earth when we need that, and that can just be there and hold the space for us when we need that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you said it perfectly. I didn't put a name to it, but the groups and networks I'm in, it is just that. They are there to support you for whatever you are desiring to accomplish. And it's great. I'm having fun. I don't know everything, but I'm having fun. So I just keep getting better and better and better. I I can only imagine where you're going to be in a year from now, and I see you at PodFest again or something, and how much you have grown. Not just me, but everybody else that's there. And I'm just using PodFest as an example. Yeah, you have to keep growing. There could have been a downside to all this, and I still have some struggles with some other things, but I want to share that there is that point of trauma affecting mental health. And I could have went down the wrong path, right? A dark path. And for whatever reason, I did not. I chose to see some kind of light and just keep going in a different direction. But I called my coach at the time when I went through that masculine course. And he still says today that 10 men commit suicide going through divorce every day. Yeah. And that's scary. And I'm glad I'm not one of those 10. But I also want to know that the guys that could be going down that road as far as divorce and everything, that it's not the end of the world. I know where they're coming from, because me personally, and I know a lot of good men, love hard. And for a woman just to get up and go is hard. And especially if you have kids involved, because that's like another big thing. Yeah, it rips a guy apart. It does. The woman can walk away maybe, but when the kids have to, you see them every once in a while or not much at all.
Yeah.
Man, I it's hard. It's really hard.
Absolutely. So, and I think, sorry to interrupt again, but one of the hardest things for humans, okay, when you love somebody else, men, women, whomever, depending on your makeup, you're either very hope open and you wear your heart on your sleeve and everything that happens, you put out there. Okay. There are people that are very much, they live in the moment, they fight in the moment, they talk in the moment, everything is on the table. And then there are those of us that live in our heads. And we may not see that our partner is totally unhappy. We may not hear the cues they give us. We may not be listening when they're expressing their discontent. And unfortunately, humans are just different, all kinds of humans. And it's not the male and female tag absolutely does make a difference, but just people in general are so different. No two of us are exactly the same. I think something that's missing when people get together is we need to take a course so that you learn proper communication from the get-go. Because you said it about you get together with someone, oh yeah, we both like apples. Okay, great. Yeah, we like, I don't know, Marvel movies. Oh, okay, cool. Let's go. That's all you know about someone. If one of those, that couple, is an avoider who will not fight at all cost, then they're going to seethe. They're not going to put anything out there. If the other person is open and wants to discuss if there's a problem, they're going to be happy as Larry until one day they wake up as the door slams and their partner leaves and go, what the hell? Where did that come from? Mm-hmm. But it may have been coming for a while, because we are so internally focused in certain things as humans. I think we tend to miss that. And we go to school to learn, I don't know, a bunch of things that we don't always use. I would like us to go to school and learn the things that are important, that emotions are meant to flow and go, that we need to be real with the people in our lives, that we have to honor the people that we choose to have relationships with, and we have to tell people the truth about how we feel. Hmm. And that's not, I'm not saying on you or on your wife, or that's just in general. Because I know from long experience that never saying what's annoying you, never saying what's thrilling you, they both have effects and they're not always good. It's so important that we open up, and it's not just suicide, although that's critically important, but that loss, the ideation, mental health challenges come from us being unsure and feeling unsafe inside. And that comes from lack of communication with others. Because if you let those little voices in your head do all the talking, oh my God, those scenarios are bad.
Yeah. I agree with you with the communication part. If I read the books or listened to the stuff that I am reading, listening to now, back when I was like 20, man, what a difference it could be. Not just for me, but maybe for her or whoever else it could have been. I tried to lean that stuff on my kids. They're still young yet, but maybe down the road. And that's what I want. That next person, whoever that is, whenever that happens, that's where I want to go. I want us to talk. Don't just go out the door and walk away. If that's your coping, that's how you have to deal with the fight.
Yeah.
Mate. But we need to talk somewhere along the line. Don't just end it. Yeah, it's a game changer. And that's for sure. And you could say that, there's the men and the women that are split because they're more feminine, more masculine or whatever in their areas. But I also feel it's slowly coming back together where the women want to get back to their femininity and the men want to get more masculine. It's small, but it's there. And that's why these men's groups, I'm part of one, you call it your tribe, and that's what you need. You need to lean in. You need to go to women's events, women-only events, to be with other women that want to have that same experience with another man that is going to men events. They want to have that same experience with another woman, right?
Yeah.
And come together. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot to be learned in communication for sure.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yes. So much. Yeah. Okay. So through all of that, what I think is really one of the coolest things about you is you took what you've learned, you turned it into your podcast, Life's Checkmark. You have people share their stories. But in all of that, you didn't just start a podcast and do a really good job. You decided that you wanted to make that easy for other people. And now, is this a passion because you like tinkering or being able to help people start their own podcasts and do it properly and get going? That's an incredible calling, and it takes some dedication for sure. So what brought that out in you?
Yeah, so I do enjoy tinkering here and there, but that's not the main reason. It's the joy of helping others, right? So I had to learn a whole bunch of stuff on my own without somebody saying, here's the blueprint, like this is how you should start. And it's just start. It's just to get going. You don't have to do exactly that way. So yeah, I created a course, and it's to get people from 0 to 10 episodes, because that's your starting point. You don't want to, I come across so many people that fall in that fear of, I don't know how to start, or I do start one and then I fall off because I did one episode and I'm scrambling to get another. And then if you're not consistent, then you give up. And I can go back. Those Facebook Lives I did, I used them. I converted them to audio and I started my podcast with them. And it was completely different from what I'm doing now with the podcast. But it was enough to get me going. And if I didn't do that, I probably would be like, because I didn't have the 10 set up. Yeah, I want people to go from 0 to 10 and launch. And quite a few people have been coming to me and asking me and about starting a podcast. And I asked them, if nobody listened, would you still do it? Because nobody listened when I started. And if they were not listening, I would still do it because of all the people I'm networking with, I'm connecting. And it just goes in all different directions. So that's how I enjoy it. And I also look at it as you can find your voice in a way, right? You can be heard, you can be seen and share your experience, not just take in what other people are or what other people have experienced as well. Yeah. And it's 0 to 10. And then I also would help out with eventually down the road, building the audience, getting it out on YouTube and all that other areas. But the whole idea behind it is wanting a community around it. I want a community of people to support the other people that are starting. I want a community for sharing guests and stuff. I'm like, let's build this together. Let's keep pushing these people, because I don't remember the stats, but I know there's a lot, there's millions of podcasts that have 1 to 5 episodes and they're dead. Yeah. Right. And it just keeps changing. And I know you were in the same rooms as I was with at PodFest. A lot of people that, if you can agree with me, a lot of people raise their hands saying they never started one. And I was surprised, because this is PodFest. Yes, you can get all the information and start one, but I went there to learn more if I could, to make mine even better, reach out to more people or whatever. But these people haven't started anything and they're at this huge event, which is great. Nothing against that. But so all these people want to start something, and a lot of people do start, but they fall off, and that hurts me. So I found a way for me where I can stay consistent and just keep getting guests, keep growing. I've done a couple solo episodes of my own as well. Yeah. So that's what I enjoy. I want to see people say, hey, I want to start a podcast for X reason, and I just need to know how to start it and keep going. And then outside of that, it could be, do you know anybody that knows production? Do you know anybody that does editing and all that stuff that a lot of people probably don't want to deal with, but you should learn it, at least a small portion. So
Yeah, I so agree with you there. I think it's important, whether you're going to do something or not, you need to know the fundamentals of how to, if it's part of the industry you're interested in. But to your point of so many people have wonderful ideas and that were at PodFest and have not started, there is a universal thing called fear. It stops so many of us, because we have a dream, we have goals, we want to do things, but we never take that forward motion, that step into making it reality, because of fear. And so many people, I'll tell you, it's funny that we're here, because it wasn't about a podcast. Yeah. In 2011, when Google Plus started, I knew as soon as I got into the beta that this was going to be something that I was going to love. And very shortly, I got invited into the beta pieces for the show part of Hangouts. So Hangouts on Air recording, the on air part, the people that got that was incredible. It was something to try. When we first started, I talked about it a lot. I thought this was brilliant, because I'm a very curious person and I like to know everything about people. And I like to know, why did this person become an author? Or why does this guy play the drums? Or all these questions. And I talked about it, and I guess I talked about it a lot. And one day, my husband said, okay, we've been down this road before, and you're talking about doing this and talking, but I don't want to hear it anymore until you do it. Would you just do it? You're not waiting for anything else. You have the camera, you've got a mic, we got all that. What are you waiting for? And I thought, oh, damn, he's right. So Saturday morning, I decided that was it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to jump into a Hangout on Air, and it will be broadcast, and I'm going to start and get ready for my show. So I thought, really warm, so I'll go for a quick swim. So I went for a swim, came back in the house, dried my hair, put on some makeup, and I put on a little sundress. Now, you have to know, it's an elastic top sundress, which means it has no ties on the shoulders. It has no sleeves. It just folds up. As you can see, you can only see me from about mid-chest up in this video. That's what I assumed people saw. Okay, but just from here, like neck up, I figured that was what people were going to see. So I went ahead and thought, okay, this is great. Pull up my sundress, but I'm all ready to go. I pop into the first Hangout. There are 9 people already in the Hangout. And not 3 seconds go by, and this voice says, "Elaine, are you naked?" And that was it. Gone. Okay. I gotta go. The person's name is Mike Stenger. He currently lives in California. He's a big time marketer. And we now laugh about this because that was 2011. I got out and spoke to someone else, and God rest her soul, her name was Kim Beasley. And she said, "Honey, you get back on in there. I don't care. Find any hangout you want, but get back on in there right now. And put on a different dress." but you can see. She said, "Yes, I can see, but let's just fix this." I did for once what I was told. I went into the next hangout. Within about 3 weeks, I had been asked over and over, "Oh, you're the naked woman." It ended up as a huge blog post with a hangout attached to show people that I was not the naked woman. But that made my entry comedic, which for me suits me well. And I got rid of that fear. Now, I'm not suggesting that people have to go out and get naked to do a video chat. Please don't. Okay, that's not required. Or a podcast. But the point was that I just didn't take myself too seriously. I had to shake it off and do it again. And that's what the story I'm telling you, why I'm telling you the story. It's about if you're on that precipice and you want to do a podcast or you want to do video or you even want to write a blog post, don't let the fear make you stay there at the precipice. Jump, okay? Take that leap into that next step so that you can get past your fear. Because I guarantee what you have to say, somebody needs to hear. That's why we do these podcasts. Okay? Like, I know you're not doing it for yourself, and I'm certainly not. We're reaching an audience because we want to offer hope. Some people want to offer training. Some people want to offer a how-to in getting yourself in the same arena. But we all have something we want to offer, and that's why we do it. And you are doing your audience a disservice if you don't take that leap. Because somebody's waiting for what you are offering. Don't make them wait any longer.
Yeah. I agree.
How's that?
that's very good. And I'll add on to that real quick because I've met a great woman. She's all about teaching people to speak. And she said those exact words to me about speaking, that people need to hear what you have to say and you're holding it back and they need to hear it before it's too late, in a sense, is how she was getting at. Who knows where that goes, but yeah, that aligns with exactly what you just said. So you got to take action and just go with it. Stick the course, fear, whatever that is to you, you just keep on. It's just like starting a new job, right? You're afraid to start a new job. You might go, "Yeah, I got this," but you're still afraid. But over time, you're like, you're comfortable, and then you don't want to leave, right?
Absolutely. Courageous people don't lack fear. They just don't let it stop them. Mm-hmm. Feel fear and do it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Just go for it. Yeah. And that's what I'm all about. And that's why I'm attending seminars and all that stuff still, because I'm uncomfortable. I'm not.
Yeah.
It doesn't sit well with me still. But it's getting to that point where I'll be raising my hand to probably go up on stage sometime and it'd be uncomfortable, but it's going to happen. Yeah. Whatever.
I'm going to hold you through that. I'm going to hold you.
Yeah, whatever fear you have, just say that you can do it and just do something small. It's the 1% you do every day that's going to keep climbing you up those steps. And yeah, you might fall back down, but you just keep getting back up and keep going. So yeah. That's all it takes.
And be grateful for every mm-hmm. step you take forward, as little as they are. Mm-hmm. Be grateful, because the next one will get easier. This podcast took a huge circle from where I thought it was going to go. Probably you too. But I wanted to be sure that people saw the joy and the promise and the service that is in you that I see. And I'm so honored that you came on the show. I will be sure and keep all the information with the transcript, and you'll find out all about John's course as well. That'll all be on there also, because I think that's important. And not only that, when you're struggling with self-confidence, when you're struggling with self-awareness and really have no self-esteem, you can start a podcast about that. You can really help somebody else that might be a few steps behind where you are now. So don't discount what you have to offer. And if you want to launch in 10, you can talk to John. Thank you so much for being with me today.
You're welcome.
I know we'll be talking again. I know it for sure.
Absolutely. This isn't over yet.
No, it's definitely not over. I'm Elaine Lindsay with my guest, John Emery. Like I said, all the information will be down below. And in the meantime, make the very best of your today, every day. And we're going to see you next time. Bye for now.
Thank you for being here for another inspiring episode of Suicide Zen Forgiveness. We appreciate you tuning in. Please subscribe and download on your favorite service and check out SZF's YouTube channel or Facebook community. If you have the chance to leave a 5-star rating or review, it'd be greatly appreciated. Please refer this to a friend you know who may benefit from the hope and inspiration from our guests. Suicide Zen Forgiveness was brought to you by the following sponsors. Truul Social Media, the digital integration specialists. Let them get you rocking page one in the search results. Canada's keynote humorist Judy Kroon, motivational speaker, comedian, author, and stand-up coach at Second City. Judy has been involved for over a decade in the City Street Outreach Program in Toronto. Lisa Sugarman, Boston-based author, columnist, and crisis counselor with the Trevor Project, America's largest suicide and crisis support network for at-risk LGBTQ+ youth, storyteller with the National Alliance on Mental Illness, NAMI, survivor of suicide loss, and mental health advocate. Lisa's purpose aligns with Elaine's as Lisa shares content and sparks conversations to help end the stigma of suicide and connect people with the support and hope they deserve. Do you have a story to share? Do you know someone you think would be a great guest? Please go to szf42.com. And for our American listeners, that's szf42.com. Thank you for listening, and we hope to see you again.